the pandemic led a lot of people to think about the way they spend their time. Why? Maybe it's because our routines were disrupted for a while there. Partly it might be that the large toll of the pandemic might have caused people to rethink priorities and values. That could mean spending less time working, less time worrying, maybe more time having fun. It might mean just learning to accept that time is finite. We won't be able to do all the stuff we want to do. We're talking about how the pandemic caused many people to reprioritize the things that matter most of that to them. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this you? Did the pandemic make you think about the way you spend your time? Do you realize you were spending a lot of time doing stuff that really didn't mean much to you? If so, how did you break those habits? How did you refocus? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Rachel Feinzig is the work and life columnist at the Wall Street Journal, writing about the intersection of jobs and everything else. Rachel, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you wrote about this, the reprioritization that a lot of people were doing. What led you down that path?
I just want to, you know, make my own personal existential crisis everyone else's existential crisis. That's at least the feedback I got from a lot of people. No, honestly, the lead of the story is really what prompted me to write about this. I was taking a run a couple of months ago and ran past the elementary school that my oldest child is going to attend in a couple of months. And I saw all these parents streaming out, moms and dads, you know, holding their kids' hands. And I just thought to myself, like, am I doing this right? Like, what should I be doing with every hour? You know, especially now that I work from home and I have a lot of work to do, but I have freedom and flexibility too. And like, am I prioritizing the right things? And that's what motivated me to finally write about this.
And you went out talking to people, and it turns out you are not the only person on the face of the planet who was having those kind of thoughts. What kind of stuff did you hear from people?
Yeah, I mean, that's always the thing, right? Like, I don't want to be writing about things that only impact me. I wanted to get a sense of if other people from all walks of life, you know, not just, you know, I'm a younger parent of young kids. You know, I wanted to see if other people were feeling this. And what I found was they were. Like, a lot of people were thinking about time, how they spend their hours, just kind of feeling it differently in this moment. And it was super interesting to me and comforting, honestly, right? To be able to commiserate with other people and know it's not just you.
What were some of the things you heard from people about the ways maybe they found themselves spending time that when they looked at it, they thought, why? Why am I so spending so much time on fill in the blank?
Social media, for sure, was one of the ones that came up, just kind of scrolling your phone. Fantasy football, like this idea that there are things that we like, and it's okay if we like them. You know, I talked to one person, and this didn't even make it in the story, but, you know, he likes sports, and it's totally reasonable to spend X number of hours watching his favorite football team. But when it got to the point where it was taking over his life, and every weekend was just him and his TV watching a million games instead of, you know, spending time with his partner, that's when it started to click that, like, huh, am I kind of doing this right? So a lot of that, like, people realizing, feeling like, I don't have time to meditate or, like, do whatever thing that they wanted to or should be doing, but then being like, huh, my phone says I've spent like 3 hours on Instagram this week. Maybe there is some time there.
Talking to Rachel Feinzig from the Wall Street Journal. Rachel wrote a piece recently on people reevaluating how we spend our time making changes or trying to make changes. You could join in if you have rethought what you spend a lot of time on, if you focused it elsewhere, meaning maybe something more meaningful or maybe something intentionally less meaningful. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We asked around here at Wisconsin Public Media for some people to share their stories. Here's a listen to Muna Algathy, Early Learning Education Engagement Specialist at PBS Wisconsin.
For me, the pandemic really made me reassess my time in that it made me realize how much I prioritized work over my own well-being and over my family. And so in that, I've really been able to reprioritize and recognize that at the end of the day, family and my well-being has to come first. And that was really hard because I absolutely love my job and I love what I do. And at the same time, I was committing way more than I had to my job. And I didn't even notice the way that it was taking from me and taking from my family and taking from my presence. And honestly, the pandemic really just enabled me to be more plugged in than normal, because my home became my office. And so I've had to really challenge myself to be more present and to reprioritize my family and my own health.
Rachel, work-life balance is kind of a buzz word or buzz phrase, I guess. But was that a common story you heard from people, like how much of my time and commitment is going to work versus the other stuff?
Totally. And like the mental and emotional load. Like if I'm still thinking about it and obsessing about it and ruminating about it, even when I'm not on my computer, or I'm running over to check, you know, because it's like in my bedroom and just work is all around all the time. Like, what, like, yeah, what's the point? And I think also the sense, which we heard in that example, like a lot of people like their jobs. I mean, we've written the story about people quitting and or moving, you know, somewhere new. And that's a totally valid experience too. But I was kind of curious, like, what if you kind of like most of the stuff in your life, but you still feel like maybe you just haven't got the balance quite right? Like the puzzle pieces aren't quite where they should be, but you don't need to quit your job and you don't need to move to the countryside. What does it look like to just kind of tweak here and there and just make like slightly different choices?
You talk to people, some experts and some real people, about the strategies we can use to make those tweaks. One was just as simple as like limiting how much a phone is going to ring into our lives and bother us with updates and notifications.
That was a great example, right? It was a person that I was talking to. He works in the New York area, kind of for like a financial services research kind of firm. And he had set his phone to only ring when someone in his address book was calling him. It was this idea, he told me, like, those people aren't entitled to my time. Like those telemarketers, like whoever is calling me, they don't need to burst in when I'm having a real conversation with my son. And so it was kind of this protective measure that is obviously tiny, but I thought was great advice.
And you talked to some experts on time management, on how to manage our time, or in some cases, how to give up managing our time. What kind of things did you hear?
Totally. A lot of it was like really existential, right? Like, I mean, I've written about time management a bunch over the last couple of years. I've talked to a lot of those experts. I think they have good things to say. But for this story, I was kind of wanted the more existential point of view. And so, you know, Oliver Berkman, who wrote this book that has resonated with a lot of people, called 4,000 Weeks, which is, the title is based on kind of the typical number of weeks that people have in a lifetime. And I mean, his like old take is just like, let it go. Like the more obsessing you do, like, it's just counterproductive. You will never feel like you have cleared the decks. You will not, you know, we all say like next week will be less busy. Like the truth is it never will be. And you need to learn to tolerate that discomfort of knowing that there's a million things battling for your attention and that you're going to feel underwater. And you need to kind of let that go and pick the important things so that you don't have to feel like, I can get to the important email once I've cleared out these 50 silly emails. So you just, you let those 50 silly emails just sit there and you go for that important one and you give it like an hour of your like true focus. That's kind of his idea.
I want to bring on another story from a colleague here, Jason Butler, assistant to the director at WPR.
I don't mind wasting my time as much anymore. Like I've really come to realize that, you know, it's perfectly okay to waste my time. I really appreciated that idea that like staying home and just not having to go out was a heroic act. And like, and I, you know, it was perfectly fine to like just do that. And I'm actually kind of resenting now this pressure to go out and do things. Not that I don't enjoy it, but like, I just feel like it's perfectly okay to kind of waste my own time. And I get to choose to do that if I want.
Yeah, Rachel, a lot of time management relates to maximizing our use of time. Jason there saying, hey, sometimes it's okay to minimize it and intentionally enjoy not doing stuff.
I think it's a really good point. And that's part of what Oliver is saying, right? Like we spend all this time trying to maximize everything. We read all these gurus telling us, you know, to prioritize this, organize it this way. And like, sometimes it's just better to let it go. And I feel like if you're wasting time consciously, like if that's what you want to do and you enjoy it and you don't sit up, you know, from like an Instagram hangover 2 hours later and like feel regret, if you really enjoy it, like, yeah, like that's the point, right? Just like go for it.
We're talking to Rachel Feinzig, work and life columnist at the Wall Street Journal, looking at how people change the way they spend their time, reprioritize time during the pandemic. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Did you change the way you use your time? Were there things that used to seem really important that you moved in a new direction? Less time focusing on work, more on family. Less time on maximizing efficiency, more on fill in the blank for us. Let us know. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Wall Street Journal work and life columnist Rachel Feinzig about the ways that the pandemic spurred at least some people to rethink the way they spend their time, to come up with new priorities. Are you one of those people? You can tell us about it at 800-642-1234. Over the last couple of years, did you become more conscious about how you were spending your time? Did you see ways in which you thought maybe you were wasting your time or could have been spending it better? Do you leave yourself more slack in your day to do fun stuff, family stuff, you name it? Or have you just been able to set aside the phone and social media to be more present, as some people have? You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you could post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Rachel, we heard from a caller who couldn't stay on the line who thought, you know, this might be a silver lining. A societal reset can be a good thing that we might not have otherwise had. Do you see people like not just kind of stumbling into things, but being really conscious about making something good out of this moment and thinking about how they spend their time?
Yeah, definitely. It's something I hear a lot from parents, a lot of dads who maybe were home more than they were before, didn't have that long commute. And now, as we're kind of gearing back up again, going back to normal life, or, you know, in quotes, whatever that even means, you know, people want to keep that. They want to keep that slower pace. I don't know if everyone will succeed, but I think it's a noble goal. And I think people really are making changes with that in mind.
And slower pace, you just said, is that the trend, the norm you saw from a lot of people, what they were aspiring or working toward?
Yes and no. I mean, that was the case with some people. Other people told me they had, you know, decided to come up with bigger goals. Like, this made them feel, I talked to one person who had served as a nurse's aide in an ICU treating really sick COVID patients. He's a professor and a former Jesuit priest. And he said it had made him feel really grateful for his body, made him cherish little things, you know, like the ability to take a walk or feel the sunshine. But it also, like, kind of gotten him into gear to set these big goals. He's training for an Ironman triathlon. Like, I think for some people it's the opposite of slowing down, right? But it's like some sort of balance there. But like you can go too far, you know, down that road too, where you're like maximizing, or at least in my experience, like, this is something I was struggling with. Like, you feel like every 30 seconds has to be accounted for, and then like, and Oliver Berkman says that's not, you know, great either. So it's all a balance.
We heard from Paul Damberg, our Northern Regional Manager here at WPR. He says he started woodworking when he had to work from home. His wife, who's retired, felt he was encroaching on her space. So Paul made himself a shop, started woodworking, and he writes, "I started to do woodworking and repairing and manufacturing all hardwood wood products, first trivets and cutting boards, then friends' furniture and building furniture for myself and my son. It's become more than a hobby," he says, "now a passion." He's rethinking how to do some of the work after some medical issues, but he says he's smitten with woodworking, can't wait to start doing more serious projects. And that, it seems like, is something that I've heard from a lot of people. They've found a new passion, whether it's a hobby or some other activity like that. Is that something you heard from people, Rachel?
Yes. And I did another column that I kind of think of as related to this one a couple of weeks ago. And the headline was something like how to be more than just your job. And I think that's part of it, right? Like diversifying, having something else in your life besides just job and family. Obviously, both those things can be great. But when they're your entire identity, like I think for many people, it's not the best thing. And having something else that makes you feel like you, that gives you someone, an expert for that story told me, like, it's that I can't believe I just did that feeling. Like, I can't believe I made this cutting board with my own hands. Or for me, it was running. Like, I cannot believe I just ran 10 miles. Like, I was like, wow. The last pick for soccer, you know, in middle school, and I became a runner during the pandemic. So I think that feeling is so important. And you kind of can't go wrong if you're chasing that.
Talking to Rachel Feinzig, work and life columnist at the Wall Street Journal, talking about how for the last couple of years, people have reprioritized how they spend their time. She heard from a lot of people, heard from some people around WPR. How about you? Had a hiccup with the phone lines. Looks like it's good now. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you call right now, 800-642-1234. Did you find that new passion in your life? Did you commit yourself to spending more good quality time with friends or family members, your kids, maybe? Did you decide to put more time into work? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Rachel, apart from what we're doing with their time, and you've kind of touched on this a little bit, the idea of being present, of being engaged with whatever it is we're doing with our time. How big a part of the story is that?
Huge, huge. I mean, I talked to someone who had been working a ton earlier in the pandemic, kind of had an incident of severe burnout that made her reevaluate everything. I mean, she didn't have a choice. She like woke up one morning and couldn't get out of bed. She was so exhausted. And she ended up taking some time off from work. And she told me it was kind of in that quiet that she learned how to reprioritize her time, that she learned how to be present, how to really feel like herself. I think when we get so busy, it's like we go on autopilot, right? And so sometimes you do have to just slow down to be present. But I don't know. For me, it's made such a huge difference in terms of the time I spend with my kids. When my mind isn't somewhere else at the same time, I feel like I get like triple the bang for my buck, you know, like in terms of the time I'm spending with them. Like I get the funny moments and the smiles, and like, sure, sometimes they're screaming and, you know, then you don't really feel like being present for that. But in general, it's just like, that's really where you like build those memories. And so much of this is about memory, because that's like what we actually take with us from our hours.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Anne is with us in Waukesha. Anne, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Well, I'm a teacher, 28 years in Waukesha, and always teach my sixth graders, find what fills you up, do what makes you happy, you know, all of that. And then I finally realized I needed to do that after the pandemic and teaching through that. So I took a chance. Oh, I made a little pun here. I auditioned for a musical, and I haven't acted on stage since 1988. So it was kind of just to throw myself in there. We just wrapped Mamma Mia in the Waukesha Civic Theater this past weekend, and I was in the ensemble and just had a blast, met so many great people, and now the bug is in me again, and it's not going to go away.
Do you have another audition coming up, Anne? Are you going to take another chance, as Abba would say?
Yeah, right. It has to fit in a line with my teaching a little bit. So I have to kind of wait and see what falls into place. But I'm looking out there, and it's just a lot of fun.
Excellent. And thanks for sharing that. Break a leg. Rachel, she went back, rediscovered a lost or forgotten passion. And as she said, kind of filled herself up with doing something just like she recommends her students do.
That is so cool. That's just like the coolest thing. I love this idea of people just rediscovering these like surprise parts of themselves. I mean, so much of this is just about having fun, like living a little, having fun. Like life is so short. I mean, it's a little bit trite, but I think so many of us in our kind of modern work obsessed world have kind of strayed away from that. Like, you know, maybe a 16-year-old, or at least 16-year-old me, didn't need to be told to choose the fun thing, but, you know, 30-something me, like, does, and it sounds like Anne did that, like, just choosing the joyful thing and and taking a chance. It's just, it's incredible.
Thanks again for that call. Now, Rachel, you were already thinking about this before you set off to write this piece. Is there a piece of advice you got either from one of the sources you talked to or one of the experts you talked to that you are thinking, yeah, I got to integrate this into my life?
I think it's the idea of not clearing the decks. But I have that feeling all the time where it's like, I can get to the real stuff, you know, whether that's in my work or at home, like I can get to the important stuff once I take care of all this other stuff that's driving me crazy. And like, maybe you just let that other stuff be and like, you just leave it on your to-do list and you see what happens. And maybe no one will die if it takes you a week to get back to that unimportant email, you know, that's been something that's been really meaningful for me.
So if I finally made the decision that I'm never going to delete those thousands of emails on my personal and work accounts, it's going to work out okay?
Yeah, I did another column called like how to care less about your email. And it's shocking. People just declare email bankruptcy. They go on vacation. They just ignore everything. And they're like, the shocking part is like nothing happens. Like it's pretty much just fine. No one cares.
Rachel, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Rachel Feinzig is the work and life columnist at the Wall Street Journal, writing about the intersection of jobs and everything else. She talked to us about a piece she wrote about how the pandemic caused people to rethink what matters most to them and change the way they spend their time. Still time for you to share your story of how you spend your time. And if it's changed over the last couple of years, you could let us know over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. If you rekindled an old hobby, an old passion, or found a new one, let us know on the Ideas Network Facebook page.